Coming up on KUCB News, school districts in the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands prepare for proposed funding cuts and more. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. Public schools in the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands stand to lose more than $3 million under Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposal to reduce state spending. As KUCB's Laura Craigle reports, that's left regional educators hoping for the best, but bracing for the worst as they prepare their budgets.
Dunleavy's proposals would hit school districts in a few different ways, through cuts to education funding this fiscal year, cuts to education funding next fiscal year, and cuts to a number of state grants and services that educators use. So with multiple threats looming, Superintendent John Conwell recently told the school board that the Unalaska City School District has to prepare for all possibilities.
Just stay calm and carry on. Go with our budget that we, I guess for lack of a better word, have been promised, but have our backup plan close at hand.
The district stands to lose about $80,000 from its current budget. That's money the legislature appropriated last year, money that UCSD had planned on using to help pay for its two new teaching positions. If the state reverses that funding, Conwell says UCSD could draw on its savings to pay out those contracts this year. But the district's reserves won't last forever, and he says that makes Dunleavy's proposal for fiscal year 2020 even more alarming. The plan would see UCSD's state funding slashed by $1.2 million, a number that represents a big chunk of the district's roughly $8 million budget, and a number that Conwell says could mean big cuts to school services.
To keep on the front burner some strategies for making some quick reductions over the next year if we need to.
UCSD's budget committee is still discussing different strategies, but educators say sports, after-school activities, teaching positions, and class sizes are all things that could be affected. That's on top of other state programs that Conwell says UCSD relies on and that are currently on the governor's proposed chopping block.
The broadband assistance grant going away, the online with libraries grant going away, the ferry service going away, you know, the Alaska Marine Highway, which we really depend on to move our new teachers out here.
Still, UCSD has more stability and support than a lot of districts. With its size and with the City of Unalaska's tradition of making the maximum contribution allowed by law, the district has been able to maintain staff, facilities, and programming despite recent lean years. That has not been the case for the Pribilof School District, according to Superintendent Brett Agenbrod.
We've closed off a wing of our building. We're certainly managing our lights, our doors for heat and electricity. You know, we're not traveling, we're not doing a lot of things, but at some point it'll come down to, you know, personnel.
Agenbrod has been preparing for some time to reduce his staff of 5 certified teachers down to 4 in anticipation of further cuts. He says it's frustrating to watch the cumulative effect, especially when state officials have failed to find a long-term solution to Alaska's budget gap.
We have a governor now who just stepped out of the Senate who did nothing of any value that I personally am aware of as far as funding the state. I understand there's a House and a Senate, but again, state legislature was unable to figure out a plan to fund the government. So now all of a sudden we're going to take the soft target of public education and we're going to cut that.
Under Dunleavy's budget, the Pribilof District would lose more than $330,000 between this fiscal year and the next. But unlike Unalaska's district, Agenbrod says he's in no rush to draft multiple contingency plans.
I've faced enough of these financial shenanigans that I'm just going to wait for the bottom line. I'm not going to get emotionally invested in a lot of this because nobody listens anyway. And so when I know what the funding is, I will prepare a budget and staff around that.
By statute, the legislature has until April to finish the state budget, though lawmakers have approved a number of overtime special sessions in recent years. It's too soon to say how education funding will fare in the final plan. While many legislators have come out against Dunleavy's proposals, the governor can veto line items from the budget, and that veto can only be overturned by a three-quarter supermajority vote. In Unalaska, I'm Laura Craigle.
Also facing funding cuts under the governor's proposals are the Aleutian Region School District and the Aleutians Eastboro School District. Aleutian Region, which runs the schools in Atka and Adak, stands to lose $250,000 between this fiscal year and the next. For Aleutians East, operating schools in Accutan, False Pass, King Cove, and Sandpoint, the budget cuts would total about $1.2 million. Five Alaska teachers traveled thousands of miles to advocate for immigrant children's rights this month. They took part in a national teachers' protest in the border city of El Paso, Texas. KHNS's Claire Strempel has this story.
All right, raise your hand if you're a teacher.
As Trump declares a national emergency on the border, teachers from across the nation declare an emergency of their own. Hundreds of educators and allies gathered at San Jacinto Plaza in El Paso, Texas, to protest the detention of immigrant children and their families. The event was organized by Teachers Against Child Detention. They say childhood detention results in long-term trauma. Ben Walker is the 2018 Alaska Teacher of the Year from Anchorage. He says he came to the teach-in not just as a teacher, but as a father and an Alaskan.
When it comes down to it, regardless of how you feel about our border policy, the keeping of children in detention centers for really no reason is not really okay. And so I wanted to speak out about that.
Some teachers see the protest as part of their vocational duty. Teachers are part of a group called Mandatory Reporters, which means that under United States law, they must report suspected child abuse to authorities. They say the level of trauma children undergo in detention centers falls under the scope of mandatory reporting. In that spirit, these teachers are speaking out and teaching out against detention centers. They presented short lessons on the history of immigration in the United States, on how to talk to students about immigration, and the effects of immigration and detention on children and their families. Walker is a science teacher, but his lesson in El Paso included some Alaskan history as well. He sees a parallel between the state's history of boarding schools for Native children and detention centers at the border.
If you look at almost any category for trauma and abuse, I bet every single one has Alaska in the top five. The reason I bring this up here today in El Paso, Texas, is because we've seen this before, and we in Alaska, we know how this goes. We are a clear case study for the impacts of trauma from the separation of children from families and communities. These schools, like the detention centers we were talking about, were not set up or funded or staffed to truly provide for the needs of these children. And some, like detention centers, were rife with neglect and abuse.
It's an Alaskan perspective on a national issue. Michael Pena is the teacher coordinator for Teachers Against Child Detention. He says it was important to have teachers from all over the United States stand together.
The border is kind of the site of a crossing, but when we look at our classrooms, you know, we're looking at students that come from all over the world through all different pathways, and these are kids that are in our classrooms, and we have to be able, as educators, to reach all sorts of kids in all sorts of conditions, and one of the consistencies that we want to bring to them is education.
3,000 miles each way to Texas may seem like a long trip, but retired science teacher Patty Brown from Haines says Alaskans are used to the travel. She says it's her responsibility as an American and a teacher to be there.
We are part of the United States, so we are part of the people who have to speak up and say this isn't okay. Alaska has plenty of immigrants. I have no way of knowing how many are undocumented immigrants, but there are many, many people in Alaska doing the hard work in fisheries and airport catering and who knows what else that may or may not be documented.
Alaska teachers Al Licata, Cheryl Childers, and Janice Littlebear were also in attendance. Teachers Against Child Detention say this event is their first, but not their last. They plan to continue to advocate for immigrant children and families. In Haines, I'm Claire Strempel,
Yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a resolution to block Trump's national emergency declaration. Now the resolution moves to the U.S. Senate, where Senator Lisa Murkowski could be a deciding vote. Trident Seafoods will pay up to $23 million to improve its compliance with the Clean Air Act. That's part of a proposed settlement reached last week between the seafood processing company, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and the Department of Justice. KDLG's Izzy Ross has more.
In a statement, the Environmental Protection Agency said that between 2009 and 2016, Trident failed to repair leaking refrigeration appliances, and in more than 250 instances, it did not create adequate servicing and compliance records. The agency also said that at times, Trident used uncertified technicians to work on refrigerant equipment. Trident spokesperson Joe Plesha says the violations were the result of poor organization.
Any sort of leaks that occur on Freon refrigeration systems have to be repaired within a certain period of time. The repairs then have to be logged in. And over the years, we have not done that as diligently as we should have. So we didn't have records, for example, of some of the repairs that were done. We didn't have those sorts of processes in place.
In addition to the $23 million Trident has committed to spend to reduce coolant leaks and improve compliance, the company will pay a $900,000 civil penalty. Plesha says these changes will not affect their processing operations.
It won't have any impact on our processing whatsoever. And a large number of the retrofits are in vessels that are relatively old and needed to be upgraded in any event. So it is a costly process, but the world is moving away from Freon anyway, so it's something that eventually we will have to do.
Three of Trident's Pollock Catcher processor vessels that operate in the Bering Sea had refrigeration leaks. As part of the settlement, Trident will retrofit or retire appliances on a total of 14 vessels to use a less harmful refrigerant. EPA Public Affairs Specialist Suzanne Skidowski says that Trident was one of several retail and seafood industry companies the EPA requested records from.
In 2015, we were reaching out, in 2015 and 2016, reaching out to these companies knowing that this was a problem for at least some of them and maybe all of them, that they've got aging refrigeration equipment either in their stores for the grocery stores or else out on these fishing and processing vessels and facilities.
According to the EPA, Trident violated the Clean Air Act by failing to promptly repair leaks of the refrigerant R22. That led to refrigerant leaking at high rates for thousands of days, releasing more than 200,000 pounds of the gas into the atmosphere.
Because they emitted over 200,000 and now they're saving 100,000. And so if we're saying 100,000 pounds is, you know, almost 150,000 cars, those emissions were equivalent to, you know, 300,000 cars. That's a lot in 1 year.
To prevent oversights of this magnitude in the future, Plesha says Trident has implemented an environmental management system.
Actually, starting back in 2016, we've developed really a comprehensive record-keeping, monitoring program, testing program, as well as proactive measures to make sure that leaks don't occur. On our larger vessels now, we at least annually remove all the Freon from the refrigeration system and pressure test the entire system to determine if there are any leaks. We now have leak alarms throughout the systems, etc.
This is the second settlement Trident has reached with the EPA in less than a year. Last March, Trident paid nearly $300,000 for Clean Water Act violations, specifically for discharging more fish waste than was legal. In 2011, Trident paid $2.5 million for a similar settlement for violations that occurred in the early 2000s. Trident is one of the largest seafood processing companies in Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. It has 17 processing plants nationwide. 11 are in Alaska. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.